Reading for this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense to anything, that our ministry may not be blamed."
Doesn't pay to get old. I keep having birthdays. I'm going to be as old as Walt Messer. Every time Eddie and Kay goes down through Big Ugly, there must be something in the water down there. They go down through there, but they stop at the Pikeville Main Street Church of Christ to worship. As a boy, I lived 7 miles from that church, and I used to listen to them. They had a radio program. I had a fellow on the radio program. He was a sort of a young preacher by the name of Willard Collins. It was a 15-minute daily, or not a daily, Sunday morning radio program. So that church has been around a very long time. It's one of the fine churches down in there. Okay? Our text today, Paul says, as workers together with him. The church, as a body of Christ, works together. If we want to accomplish good things for the cause of Jesus Christ, we will work together in doing those things. You show me a team today that has ascension, that's mad at the coach or players not getting along, and I'll show you a team that doesn't win a lot of ball games. But you show me a team that's working together, then they can accomplish some things. Now Paul says, as workers together also plead with you. Paul wasn't ashamed to plead with people. Plead with you. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. Paul was someone that went about with the Ephesian church. He went around, he would plead with them with tears in his eyes. That's what it took to get the job done. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, I believe, "To the weak I become as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means, save some." You know, if Paul was inconvenient, then he found a way. If he was tired, he kept going. If he was persecuted, he wouldn't give in. He wouldn't give up. If he was in jail, well, that didn't stop him. He found a way, you see. "I've become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Most businesses today, nonprofits, they have a mission statement. You know what I think the mission statement of the church should be? It should be the same as Jesus' mission statement. Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Paul would put it this way in 1 Corinthians 1:15, "As a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief." That should be our mission statement. In our text, Paul says, I also plead with you that you not receive the grace of God in vain. You know, waste is rampant in our society today. Think much how much food is wasted every day in America. People prepare meals at home and they eat part of it maybe, and by the time the next meal comes around, they no longer have an appetite for that. So it might sit around a day or so and they end up in a garbage can. People go in restaurants and they buy big meals, and the kids buy big meals sometimes, and they take a few bites of it, and sometimes they may take it home, sometimes it ends up in the garbage can. And you say, well, we're not talking about my household. Well, that may be true, but I am talking about a lot of households. There's a lot of waste that goes on in our world today. At the same time, there's food insecurities. I was watching television here 2 or 3 weeks ago in Dublin, Ohio, which I would call upper middle class maybe community. The food bank director says people just keep coming and coming and coming, more and more coming all the time. And of all places down in New Albany, Ohio, they had the homeless sleeping on park benches. Newark, Ohio just banned homeless shelters. So that's I don't know where they're gonna stay. There's a lot of waste. People buy clothes, expensive clothes sometimes, and they take them home and maybe they wear them a time or two and they hang them in the closet. They may hang there for years, and either they get them out and donate them to charity or they stay there till they die, and their children gives them away. And shoes. Some folks have 40, 50 pairs of shoes. Never could wear that many out. There's a lot of waste. Paul says, workers together with him also plead to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. When we receive the grace of God in vain, then grace is wasted. Corinthian church is writing to people that had a church that had a lot of difficulties, a lot of problems. There was contentions among them. A man was in an immoral relationship with his father's wife. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1, Paul wrote, it's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. Then in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 13, they were told to put away from yourself that evil person. You see, the reason, the purpose for discipline was corrective discipline, that they might win that person back, that he might repent from his sin that he was in. There was also a problem with unity. 1 Corinthians First chapter, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, that there be no division among you. And verse 12. Now I say this, that each one of you are saying, I am of Paul, and some of Apollos, and some of Cephas. He would ask the question, is Christ divided? Were you crucified in the name of Paul? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? So they had preacheritis, you could say. Others were going, taking each other to law. They were going to law against each other, and the world was unbelievers knew it. Unbelievers were looking at it. They were also abusers for the Lord's Supper. We could go on and on and on. The purpose for the Lord's Supper is to remember. Remember what Christ did at Calvary, you see. Paul would say about the Lord's Supper, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do in remembrance of me. Do in remembrance of me. And then he would say, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's a time to look a forward. It's a time to look backward. It's a time that we look back to the cross, and we know that Jesus died to redeem us. The word redeem is to buy back, to ransom. He gave his life as a ransom for you and I. He paid sin's debt. He paid for our sins. And we also look forward to the second coming. Jesus has promised to come again. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I will come again and receive you. That where I am, there you may be also. Galatians 5th chapter, verse 4, Paul wrote, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who also attempt to be justified by law have fallen from grace." You see, here were people that were trying to hang on to elements of the Judean law. They were trying to hang on to that, and in doing so, they were wasting the grace of God, you see. They were trying to hang on to Sabbath worship and to circumcisions and eating, forbidden to eat certain meats. Anyone who once walked in the way of the Lord and goes back into the world and starts following a false religion, then they have fallen from grace. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the race, from the faith. Well, you can't depart from something if you never had it. But in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, taking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and to abstain from meats that God has created to receive with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And the word sanctified means set apart, or it means holy. And Paul is saying here that God has sanctified the good things, like creating of foods and marriage, and that it's to be received with thanksgiving. Now we know who teaches, or we know who forbids their church leaders to marry. We know who teaches that. And they never started teaching it up until about the 12th century. Up to then, it was okay. Then it would be forbidden. And we know who also teaches that eating meats is wrong. Titus 2, verse 11 through 12 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Now the grace of God teaches us something. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteous and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We waste the grace of God when we fail to listen to what the grace of God teaches us on how that we're supposed to live. We fail to listen to what it teaches, that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and how that we are to live, that we are to live righteously and godly in this present age. Titus 2:11 says, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." When we listen to what the grace of God teaches us, we know how that we are to live. And if we refuse to listen to that, then we waste the grace of God. Many waste the grace of God by going back into a life of sin. Demas is an example. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. Paul would say, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world." He was with Paul, but he left Paul, and he went back into the world. So he was wasting the grace of God. You gain nothing by going back into the world. And in the end, you lose everything. You can waste the grace of God by failing to finish the race. Paul would write near the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. He said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And he would say, the time of my departure is at hand. And I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And he would say, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day. And not only for me, but it's for all those that love his appearance. Paul was someone that was going to finish the race. And nothing was going to stop him. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, Paul wrote again, do you not know that those that run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Run that you may win, you see. You ever notice runners in the Olympic Games? They finish, most of them finish the race. Unless they have an injury, they finish. They may come in dead last. They may come in several laps behind. But they finish the race, you see. Years ago, I was watching this woman in the Olympic Games. She'd already won several medals. And she was running to win another medal. But she stumbled and fell. She had pulled a muscle in her leg. But her trainer husband come out of the stands, picked her up, and she skipped across the finish line. She finished the race, you see. You ever notice gymnasts on the beam? They fall off the beam sometime. Unless they're injured, well, they get right back up on that beam, and they finish the race. You got to finish the race. And Paul is emphasizing this. Notice what he says in Hebrews 12, chapter, verse 1. Here he says, the latter part of that verse, run with endurance. Run with endurance the race that's set before you. Run the race to win the race. Run it with endurance. Revelation 2:10, Paul would say, the latter part of that verse, is he would say, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Be faithful unto death, Paul said. Not Paul, John wrote that. I've noticed that people, from time to time, they get into the Christian race. The first time there's some trial, sometimes there's some struggles in their life. It could be many things. It could be a family issue. Maybe they've lost a job, or they've lost a certain standard of living. And they blame God, and they give up on God, and they quit the race. That's the worst mistake one could do, is quit the race. Stay in the race. Don't never give up. Quit. Have the attitude, I'm too strong. I've come too far to go back now. When I got in the Christian race a long time ago, I knew I'd never quit. I knew I'd never give up. I knew I wasn't going to go back into the world. I had that confidence. And you can have it. Everyone can have it. But people seem to give up on God. They want to quit the race. You know, there are a lot of people who teach that you can't fall from grace. Some leading evangelists on television, Dr. Charles Stanley teaches that it's impossible to fall from grace. Well, let's listen to what the scripture says. Mark 4th chapter, 16 through 17. This is parable of the sower. And I'm reading this from the New American Standard Version. Paul says here, people in the parable of the sower, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown in rocky places, whom when they heard the word, immediately received it with joy, and have no firm foot in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when afflictions and persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. See, you cannot fall away from something if you didn't have it. They received it with joy, and then they fell away. They started out all right, but they fell away. I've noticed people sometimes they come into the church and have all this enthusiasm, and they just want to study, and they never miss one service. They want to be there all the time, and they're so encouraged, and they're encouraging you even. But pretty soon, when the first thing happens in their life, they want to turn around. They want to give up on God. You gotta stay in the race. You see, these people were falling away when things happened in their life. Sometimes bad things will happen in our life, and we're going to have things in our life to discourage us. But we should never give up. We should stay in the race. You see. You know, Christ had to die for the sins of mankind. That was God's eternal purpose. He had to do that. In Acts 2:22-24, Peter declared on Pentecost Day to 1,000 people, he said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth manifested to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did to him in your midst, and you yourself also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Notice here it says that him being delivered by the determined purpose. It had been decided in heaven by God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit that Jesus would have to come into this world and die for the sins of the world. He died to redeem us. He died to purchase us back. And notice what the scripture says in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The word redemption means to buy back, it means to ransom. Jesus gave his life, Mark 10:45, as a ransom for many. What if Jesus had come to the cross and what if he said, "Father, I'm not going through with this. The scourging, the lashes are too deep, they're too painful." What if he had said, "This crown of thorns on my head, it presses too deep into my scalp. I'm not going to face this. The nails are too deep into my hand." What if he'd called those legions of angels and took us off the cross, took himself off the cross, and you and I could never have been saved? Jesus suffered. He endured the shame. He despised the shame. He endured the cross that you and I could be saved. Jesus paid the price that was necessary to redeem us from our sin. If one wants to be in Christ, then they're going to have to listen to what Christ says. They're going to have to listen to what the Word of God says. The Bible teaches, and it teaches many places, the sum total, the entirety of thy word's truth, the entirety of the gospel is truth. Read all the conversion stories. Read the 10 conversion stories in the book of Acts. You'll come to the one conclusion. One has got to believe the gospel. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Before coming to him, one must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. One must repent from sin. Acts 17, verse 30. Of the time of ignorance that God overlooked, but now commands everyone everywhere to repent. All men everywhere to repent. One must confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Matthew 10, verse 32. You deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father which is in heaven. One must be immersed in water for the remissions of sin, buried with Christ in baptism, rise to walk in a newness of life. To contact that precious blood of Jesus Christ. The only way to connect with the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at the cross for us is to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Baptized into his body Galatians 3rd, chapter, verse 27, Paul was saying, "For many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." You want to put on Christ? You're going to have to be immersed in water for the remissions of sins. Then you can put on Christ. So, when we fall away from the Lord, we need to return to Him. We ask Him for forgiveness. And we ask the church, it's appropriate to ask the church for forgiveness. But we must ask the Lord to forgive us. That's what the Bible teaches. And we show people, we show each other whose side we're on, that we are on Christ's side, that we're living for Him, that we're serving Him each day in our life. So we close our lesson this morning. If there's someone here that this church stands ready to help you, this church stands ready to encourage you, and there'll be someone here to assist you if you have a need in your life. We can serve you in any way. Come while we stand and sing.